Where do you keep your dirty laundry? At your house. I don't expect any of us keep it. We keep it somewhere. I don't expect any of us keep it in our entryway. If someone were to stop by your home, that they would step in the door and there's your, you know, weekly pile of dirty laundry. I doubt any of us keep it in the living room. If someone were to unexpectedly come by, and some of you are really neat and tidy people, and I'm envious, and some of you are more like me, and you're not. And so if we were to stop by your house and come in, you might have to move something for us to sit down on your couch, but surely it wouldn't be dirty laundry. At our house, Stephanie and I, we have a closet. It's where we try to keep it in. We try. But you know what I mean? It's in a bedroom, and it's kind of intentionally even in a more private place. And our girls, they have a closet that when their rooms are clean, it's in their closet. And when their rooms are not, it's everywhere. But it's in their rooms. Why don't we keep our dirty laundry out in a more public place? And the reason is it's dirty. It needs to be cleaned. It's unsightly. And so when we talk about gossip, and this is today's part two, and there's no part three, so relax. Just hang in there. Make it through today. But so it's called, when we gossip, it is said to be discussing people's dirty laundry. Why do we do that? It's fun. I don't fully understand the extent, the depth as to why it's so enjoyable. Probably the darkness within each of us, but we do have some humanness that kind of enjoys hearing some juicy gossip. We get a little joy from hearing bad news about people we don't like, or we're jealous of, or we feel judged by. When other people struggle, maybe we feel a little better about ourselves. As sad as that sounds. Your nemesis, your competition, the person, your rival, whoever that is, that maybe you struggle with being jealous of or coveting or bitter toward, and when you hear something a little negative that happened to them, there's a part of you, maybe big, hopefully small, maybe none, but for a lot of us, there's a little part that's tempted to kind of be a little giddy about that. Sometimes we gossip because we want to be in the know. We want to know. We want to know what's going on. We don't want to be the last to know. That doesn't sound good. But it's worth exploring within yourself and within me. Why do I want to know? Sometimes it's I want to know because I care about people. Sometimes we want to know because we're being nosy. And there's a scripture, 2 Thessalonians 3:11, talking about some ladies in the church at Thessalonica, and they were not, Paul said they were not busy at work, but they were busybodies. It's possible for us to be too much, too busy about other people's business, and it's not our business. And then a sister in our congregation shared this with me this past week, and I think it's worth really thinking about, and it's a statement that says, sin is what you do when your heart is not satisfied with God. That's one worth writing on your bathroom mirror. Whatever sins you struggle with, and by the way, the sin of gossip, it could be argued, is at least in the top three or four greatest sins in the church today. Most committed. Can we deny that? This is a sin, let's be honest, this is a sin that's committed inside the walls of this place. And this place is not holy. God's holy. You're holy. Your spirit, God's spirit is in the Christian. It's in the church. And so, but this place is just a building. And yet, even when we're here, we tend to feel more godly or be on our best behavior. And this is a sin we commit even here. And so it's a struggle. And the idea that sin is what you do when your heart is not satisfied with God, there's a lot of truth in that. The issue is not me gossiping. The issue is, where's my heart and why am I not more satisfied with where God wants me to be and what God wants me to be talking about? Maybe we have trouble forgiving. Maybe that's our heart issue. Or maybe it's easier to talk to a friend about how we're upset about what someone has done or said. It's easier to do that than to talk to Jesus. Maybe that's more of what our heart issue is. Maybe we're not trusting God enough, or maybe we're not close to God enough. If I were closer to God, would I really enjoy gossiping? Would I really enjoy hearing bad things about people that irritate me? If I were closer to God. So, we justify gossip. And a couple weeks ago, we had part one of this sermon. And one of the ways we justify gossip is, in our mind, a lot of us, in our mind, gossip, or something's not gossip if it's true. And so we'll justify it by saying, now, this, what I'm about to tell you, I'm not gossiping. This is true. And so we feel, you know, we're not wrong. And yet, gossip does not have to be false or a lie for it to be gossip. You can be telling the truth, it's still gossip. We justify by saying it's not that bad. Either consciously, subconsciously, how much we're aware of this in our minds. If you were to poll most Christians and say, rank sins. Now, biblically, we don't find that God ranks sins. Right? Sin, any sin will lead to death. Right? Romans 6:23. So, but if we were to rank them, I don't know if any of us would rank the sin of gossip in our top 10 worst sins. We just don't view it. So that's the way we justify it. We don't view it as being so bad, but we have a scripture. James 1:26 says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue but deceives his heart, this person's religious is worthless. It's kind of sobering, isn't it? If this is a sin that we today and the average Christian today struggles with and maybe not even understand, maybe doesn't even understand that they're doing wrong, and yet God's word tells me if I can't control this thing and what I say, then my religion is pointless. If I'm spouting evil and thinking that I'm good because I'm, you know, in the church house Sunday morning. So we justify it. Have you ever done this one? In your mind, you're thinking, I'm only telling one person. I know that, like, I probably shouldn't tell anyone, but I feel like I got to tell someone. I'm going to tell Ronnie. That's all I'm telling. It's the only one I'm telling. Ronnie, I haven't told anyone else this, but doggone it, I'm going to tell you. And then I walk away with this naive thought that Ron's not going to tell anybody. In my mind, it just went to one person. Well, what do you think Ron's going to do? What if he tells one person? How much gossip do you think has spread because each one only told one and thought that was the only one that was going to be told? What happens if a bit of dirty laundry, each person continues to spread, then the worst about someone is what people know about them. Proverbs 11:13 says, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, but he who is trustworthy in spirit keeps a thing covered. There's a reason we dress like we do. The idea of modesty, actually the idea of, you know, there is such a thing as nudist colonies, and there's a few reasons why I don't get that. A number of reasons, right? One is, it is just in our nature, following sin in the Garden of Eden, that we want to cover up. And we do that with our body, and we do that in our homes. We don't want our dirty laundry to be on the front porch for the whole neighborhood to see. We want that to be covered. Have you ever had someone telling you gossip, and then the thought hits you? They're telling you gossip, you're kind of enjoying that, and then the thought hits you. You know, this person seems to talk a lot about people. I wonder what they say when I'm not around about me. You ever thought that? Have you ever thought, like, I'm kind of enjoying this conversation because you're telling me some juicy stuff here. But, you know, I don't know how much I really want to tell you about me. Not sure I can trust you. A big justification that we struggle with is the idea that I need to vent. I'm frustrated with someone, and I've got to tell someone, and this is overwhelming to me. It's bottling up. It's got to come out somewhere. I've got to tell somebody or my head's going to blow off. I need to vent. That's a legitimate struggle. It's very common. But we need to ask ourselves, do I need to vent or do I need someone to validate my feelings? Do I need someone to have empathy with me? Do I need someone to tell me, you know what, boy, I see why you're upset. If I were you, I'd be mad at that person too. I can't believe you didn't say something or do something. That feels good to us because it reinforces how angry we are with someone. If I'm venting, and not all venting is gossip, so I could be having a bad day. I could say, you know, my day started out, I had a flat tire, and then I got to work, and then this happened, and then so, you know, I could just be expressing my struggles in life. But if I'm venting and I'm gossiping about someone, I might feel better when I'm done, but it's still wrong, and God would have me deal with that a different way and a better way. Can any of us argue with God and say, God, I know what you're saying. I know you tell me not to gossip, but God, I got to tell you, when I'm venting and gossiping, I just really think you're wrong on that one. And we don't have a scripture that says, don't gossip except if you're venting, and then you got to get that off your chest, boy. You know. We don't have that exception in scripture that we can do that. The truth is, we really don't need to vent, we need to pray. If we want to think about what do I really need, I don't so much need to vent, I need to pray. I don't need my soapbox, I don't need to get on my soapbox, I need to get on my knees. And if I were on my knees praying about this issue with someone that I'm so frustrated about, don't you think God is going to help us? And don't you think that's a better outcome? I was asked recently about, what about within a family? So it's common within, you know, families. So that let's say your children are grown, and or just whatever your family is, you're talking to one family member about another family member. Can you believe I don't know what your sister's thinking. Why she, you know, what she said the other day, she told me this. And you have these discussions about family members, it's within the family, is that gossip? And I think the thing to remember is, are we tearing down or are we building up? If the discussion has a tearing down kind of effect and tone and nature, then we're gossiping. If it has a building up effect and building up tone, if it's, listen, you need to know about what what's going on with your sister because you need to be praying for her. This is not something to be telling people, but I want you to know because you need to be aware of this. And we need to pray for her. So, are we going down or are we going up? Proverbs 17:9 says, whoever covers an offense seeks love, but he who repeats a matter separates close friends. It's hard to cover an offense. When someone hurts you or offends you, it's hard. So the preacher's not saying this is easy. God never said it was easy. It's hard to take that hit and be hurt and just get on your knees and be quiet about it. But that's where God leads us. The effects of gossip. Let's talk about this for a little bit, and then we'll get into what can we do. How can we deal with the temptation to gossip? So one thing, you know, a few years ago I heard something about a preacher that was in the area, kind of a bit of gossip about that person, and that's all I know about him. And anytime I see that person, anytime I hear that person's name mentioned, anytime I see him or his wife or anything to do with him, that's all I think about. And in my mind, I know, have you ever done this? Have you ever heard something in your mind? You're like, you know, I don't know if that's true or not, but I like, it might be true, it might not. I'm going to hear that with a grain of salt. Because honestly, it's foolish to listen to someone and take their story as being absolute truth. Amen? You ever been burned by that? You believed what someone said, then later you found out, boy, they didn't understand it all. So in my mind, I'm thinking, I don't know if this is true about this brother or not. But it's still all I know about him. And that's a problem with gossip, because if it becomes all you know about someone. Let me go right here. So in this building, I don't know if Zach was leaving one day and spilt his big gulp or what, but we have some, the carpet here has some spots right here where I'm standing. If you're in this building and this is all you're looking at, then this is a stained building, right? Have you ever fixated on something small and that's all you could see? And if that's all you thought about this facility, in which we're thankful that we have this facility. It's a nice place. It's a nice, comfortable place, isn't it? Yes, we need to. It continually has things that need to be repaired. It needs to be updated. I'm the only person voting for orange carpet when we replace this church. I haven't got a single one to join with me on the orange carpet. And that's a lie. But if that's all I know about a place, my view is not accurate. And lo and behold, this place is continually trying to repair, fix, clean, whatever. And don't you do that in your life? And if all you know about someone is something bad, don't you know they don't want that to be your whole view of them? And it's not accurate. I wouldn't want that. You wouldn't want that. And that's kind of how gossip works. It's a real damaging outcome as it becomes the one thing we know about that person. I would hate for the worst, for my worst, or my sin or shortcoming. And I do fall short. I do sin. If you don't think so, talk to my wife. Church, pray for the wives of our leaders. Pray for them. Because they're married to a man that the church looks up to for spiritual leadership and respects. And the wife knows, this guy's not quite that good, church. I'm married to him. The wife knows. Pray for the wives, right? And pray for our leaders, because my point is, none of us are perfect. And so, to continue this, if a failure of mine where I fell short and sinned is all someone knew about me, and that was repeated, I wouldn't want that, and you wouldn't want that. And so gossip is great when you're on the right, when you're on one side of it. It is not so great if you're on the wrong side of it, the bad side of it, the one being talked about. Here's something else. The truth is, with gossip, I don't think that it gets better as we age. I think the temptation gets worse. Maybe because as we age, we don't feel as good, right? The old body's wearing out slowly, but it's wearing out. When you don't feel good, you're kind of cranky, and you get irritated. And guess what you get irritated about? People. And when you're irritated about people, guess what you want to do? Talk to somebody about it. Gossip. So as we age, this is a struggle for older Christians, isn't it? It's a struggle for all of us, but age doesn't make this one easier. It may make it more difficult. So let's get into how to avoid gossip, what to do instead of gossiping. Proverbs 10:19 says, "When words are many, transgression is not lacking, but whoever restrains his lips is prudent." We need to be slow to speak. You ever been in a situation where you knew something bad about someone, but this person didn't, and they're going on and on about how great someone is, and you're thinking in your mind, "Boy, you don't know what I know. You wouldn't be talking that way. I could tell you something." And sometimes we do. Sometimes we do. We say, "Now I hear what you're saying, but now here's what you need to know this." And the truth is, people really don't need to know. I mean, we're not talking about, calling an electrician and this guy's a crook and you don't want to use him. We're not talking about that. We're just talking about being loose with what we say. And it's, I'm not saying it's easy, but we need to be slow to speak. Regarding venting, what I think God guides us in on this, I absolutely think this is the best. It's not easy and it's not near as fun as venting, which sin is fun, church, or we wouldn't do it. But instead of venting, vent to Jesus. It will be awkward for many. It may seem odd. It may seem unproductive. Maybe you don't talk to Jesus. Maybe we don't pray to God enough. Vent to God. I see nothing biblically wrong with venting to Jesus. He is God and He came in the flesh. I can identify with Him for good reason. God sent Him to be with us and show us. He is our mediator. And there's so much good that can come from, instead of me telling Ronnie, how about I just talk to Jesus about it? And Jesus will remind me, Elliot, here's, you know, God has a way of adjusting our attitude where we need it to be, even if it's not where we want it to be. We need to have a lot more Jesus meetings. When someone is gossiping, this is really challenging. When someone else is gossiping to you and you're thinking in your mind, well, we shouldn't be doing this. It is difficult, church. I don't have a perfect answer on that. I've got a few that I think are helpful. One is, if you can catch it quick enough and say, in other words, someone approaches you. If I approach Ron and I say, now, Ron, I got something to tell you about Steve and Ron. And Ron, at that point, if Ron says, now, hold on, if it's bad, if it's something bad, I don't want to know. I don't even want to know. Because I got to sit by that brother in church, and I've got to work beside him. And I already struggle with him enough. I don't need anything else to hear bad about him. And if I say, I know Ron, but listen, no, you need to know this. This blue is not good. You need to know this. And Ron said, no, I don't. So another idea is at some point in the conversation to interject, you know, we need to be praying for them. Because oftentimes when we're gossiping, our heart is nowhere near God. And it's not in the right place or in a good place. We're hurt and we want to defend ourselves and we're just hurt. And we're talking, so in talking bad about someone, the last thing on our mind is praying for them. We don't want to pray for them, we want to slap them. And we might not go do it physically, but let's do it verbally, privately. And so that's a good idea to add, to say we need to be praying for them. And a type of doing that is to say, you know, I hear what you're saying. That is frustrating. I will be praying about that. And then just ask them, have you thought to pray about that? Not accusatory, not condemning, but loving. Another idea is to change the subject. May not be the best way to handle a gossip, but it's a better way than just soaking it all up. Change the subject. I think it's important to us, church, to confess to each other, to say to a brother or sister that you are close to and trust, to say, you know what, I have been struggling with gossip, and I want you to be praying for me, and I'm praying about this, and in our conversations, I'm really trying. There's a lot of things we can talk about, isn't there? And we are relational creatures. So we're going to talk about each other. But isn't there enough good that we can talk about? In other words, change from talking about the bad. Think about something good. There's a lot of good. Did any of y'all see on social media Jenna Hendrix singing the national anthem this past week? That girl nailed it. That was awesome. I loved it. Isn't there good to talk about? Did you hear Matt Aldridge is out of the hospital? He had a stent put in, but he's already out, and his wife won't let him go back to work. He has to hang out with her next couple weeks. Isn't that cool? I think that's good, Amanda. There's good things to talk about. Proverbs. Hold on, boy, I'm behind here. I'm behind. 2019, whoever goes about slandering reveals secrets, therefore do not associate with a simple babbler. Sometimes we need to avoid relationships. Sometimes we need to not spend so much time with certain people. I'm not saying give up on them. I'm not saying don't be a positive influence on them. But we need to use our words to build up. And there's plenty of ways to do that. I want to close with, if you're following on the outline, we're going to we'll miss a couple of the ones here at the end. But I want to close with a story of Esther. And there was a workshop yesterday at Manford Church for Elders, and it was excellent. Bob was unavailable, had a prior obligation that could not get out of, and Curtis was sick. But Tom went, and Zach went, and I went, and it was wonderful. And so I just tell you that, church, you need to be praying about the leaders of the church, and it's a great thing when they gather together to sharpen each other and grow as shepherds over God's people. In the closing lesson yesterday, the speaker pointed this out, which I thought was outstanding. And in the book of Esther, and so if you want to turn in your Bibles to Esther, it's the very last verse in the entire book. So it's Esther 3:10. It's a short book of the Old Testament. And without going into the story, basically the hero of that book is Mordecai. And he's kind of a quiet figure. We don't know a whole lot about him. He's just a godly man. And at the end of the book, it talks about he was appointed second in command, kind of like Joseph in Egypt. So he's second in command at the end of the book to the king. And scripture says in Esther 3:10, Mordecai was popular among his people. And it gives two reasons why. One, he sought the welfare of his people. And two, he spoke peace to all his people. He sought the welfare of his people, and he spoke peace. What he did was for people's benefit, their building up, and what he said was for people's benefit, to bless them. And that's what the church needs today, isn't it? I'm not throwing stones at anybody today. I struggle with gossip. I think most all of us do. But we need to get a grip on it, don't we? We need to get honest about it. And we need to get a grip on it. And we need to be people who act on people's welfare and speak in order to build people up. We're going to sing an encouragement song, On Bended Knee We Come. We need to be more meetings with Jesus on our knees and more humility. So I encourage you this morning, if there's anyone that has a need this morning, we'd love to pray with you. If one would wish to give their life to Christ and have their sins washed away, we'd love to do that. If there's anything we can do, please come while we stand and sing.